This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Man, a lot of complaining about All-Star Weekend. And I'm like, it wasn't bad. Was it as good as Cleveland? No. Was it as iconic as Cleveland? No. Have I seen worse? Yes. Y'all tripped. Especially about the All-Star game. Okay, to be fair, I stopped watching in the fourth quarter. The East pretty much ran away with the thing in the second quarter. And the West couldn't catch up. They were down like 40 at some point. The biggest reason is because the East seemed like they were hitting all their threes. And also, Jokic and Luka weren't even trying. On the West side. They just weren't. Who was even scoring for that team? Steph Curry? Anthony Davis? LeBron? And Paul George. Paul George. That's pretty much it. Okay, a little bit of Kevin Durant. But on the other side, Dame went off. Haliburton went off. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns went off, but he scored most of his points in the fourth quarter. It was a blowout. It was already a blowout then. So, on the East side, Haliburton went off. Dame went off. Jaylen Brown got his. And Jason Tatum got his. That's pretty much it. If I'm not mistaken, Trey didn't play as much as I would have liked. Oh, Shai Gilgeous also on the West side. I mean, the West was loaded. How'd he get blown out like that? I know how, because all those threes. And also Tatum and Brown just be cooking in All-Star games regardless. But it was 211 to 186. I should have known that was going to happen when they went back to the East versus West format. I should have known that was going to happen. Honestly, I ain't have a problem with it. I ain't have a problem with it. Because I enjoyed all the three-point shooting, especially Dame. When Dame made that half-court shot, the MVP race was over. I was like, yeah, Haliburton's not winning, Curry's not winning. Yeah, this is Dame's MVP. I'm like, he's making everything, and now he's shooting from half-court. I'm like, you can't compete with that. It's over. It's his. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed all the marksmanship. I always enjoy the alley-oops. I always enjoy the nice assists. Could it be more competitive? Sure. But I kind of like what I saw. Now, okay, when they get uncontested drives to the basket and layups, okay, that sucks. But, I mean, I saw some steals. I saw some blocks. It weren't as many blocks, but I saw some blocks. I saw some steals. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I've seen worse. I mean, what do you want them to do? The All-Stars, they see it as a break. They see it as fun. They're just having fun. And I think if I look at it like that from now on, I'm cool with it. Now, Cleveland was a little bit better because at the end, because they split it up in the quarters and they split the teams and Steph Curry went off. He had 50. That was fun to watch. And LeBron hit a game-winning shot. They had the Elam inning, and they were competing for charity. Maybe we need to do something like that. Now, I've heard suggestions of a one-on-one tournament, a three-on-three tournament. That would be an interesting way to split it up. I mean, to change things up. But apparently, they're going to have to do something because the majority of the viewing audience just doesn't rock with this All-Star game. Now, the rest of the weekend, the celebrity game, I mean, like, it was basically the athlete show. It kind of reminded me of this video I watched on YouTube where this guy was like, the ways you're going to score 20 points a game is you have to be an elite athlete, an elite shooter. I don't know what the third one was, but I think the third one was the combination of both. And those guys, I don't think either of them were like CJ Stroud, Puka, Parsons, and the high jumper. I don't think any of them were great athletes. Oh, they had Tristan Jazz. I think is he a basketball influencer? I think so. But mainly, Shannon Sharpe's team had Puka and Parsons, and they took over. So, yeah, they got the athlete part covered. They're elite athletes. So, of course, they dominated. And, of course, that was the difference in them winning the game. Rising Stars, the team of – I can't believe they had a team of all G Leaguers. I'm kind of shocked by that. And, you know, they did it the same way they've been doing it the last few years. They split it up. They split the Rising Stars up into four teams. And they have a little round-robin tournament. And I think the G Leaguers made the finals, but they lost. They lost to Jalen Rose's team and Benedict Mathurin. I forgot who else was on that team, but Benedict Mathurin won MVP. So, yeah, that was pretty good. Once again, they're going harder than the All Stars, but they're not going 100%. Okay. The actual All-Star weekend, okay? Like, All-Star Saturday night. The skills challenge, it was all right. Of course, the hometown team won again, just like Cleveland. I don't know if they won in Utah, but just like Cleveland, the hometown team won. Hometown team just made it look easy at first. You know, with the traditional dribble through obstacles, pass, shoot, layup. That part of it, they killed it. Of course, they dominated. So then, the team that had the number one picks, that had Paolo, Anthony Edwards, and Victor Wembanyama, they were trash the whole night. They were trash that whole comp. It was funny as hell. The team with Scottie Barnes and Trae Young and Maxey, they almost won. But, you know, they lost the passing thing by a tiebreaker. And the shooting thing, they lost. They tied. But they had to make half-court shots. And, well, of course, the hometown Pacers won. They had Halliburton, they had Turner. I think they had Mathurin, if I'm not mistaken. They might have somebody else. But yeah, man. That wasn't bad either. The 3-point competition never disappoints. You had four people that had 26 points. You had a tiebreaker. Trae Young, of course, was in all that, was in the mix. Trae Young, Dame, Karl Anthony Towns. Like, you had two of the last three champs, right? You had the last two champs, and you had Trae Young that came in second in Cleveland, mainly competing for the title at the end. And Dame, once again, I think Karl Anthony Towns and Trae Young tied. Or no, Trae Young beat Karl Anthony Towns by two. I'm glad he got revenge on Karl Anthony Towns, because I was sick that Karl Anthony Towns beat Trae Young in Cleveland. I was sick about that. So, Trae Young got his revenge, but Dame won again. I think he hit one more money ball than Trae Young. It was all so close and tight. But, of course, the event of the night, and that everyone talking, was Steph versus Sabrina Ionescu. And I was like, is Sabrina Ionescu going to shoot from the NBA line? Because that was a question, and she did. And I thought she should have used a regular NBA ball. But I don't know. They decided to let her use the WNBA ball. That's the only gripe I have about it. Other than that, it was fire. Sabrina Ionescu had 26, just like four other three-point shooters, which made her look good. But I was like, 26 isn't enough. You need 30 to beat Curry. But to my surprise, Curry was kind of, he had like a lackluster performance in this competition, but he warmed up at the end and he edged Sabrina by 3. And I was like, I'm impressed by Sabrina Ionescu. And if you look at her career in total, she has improved on her three-point shooting. She made a huge jump in three-point shooting percentage. Like, I think in 2022, she shot like 34%. And then in 2023, she shot 44%. Damn! Obviously, she has improved as a shooter to the point where she could challenge Steph and almost beat him. Even though she was using a WNBA ball, she still was shooting from NBA range. And to be honest, if you watch Liberty games, Sabrina Ionescu takes some deep threes. I sat there and watched it opening day when they played the Mystics. She was shooting all them deep threes. Now, they weren't going in that day, but she can shoot that. I'm very impressed by what she did. Of course, there were some controversial comments. Kenny Smith, Reggie Miller, they didn't mean any harm. I forgot exactly what they said, but you had the whole WNBA Twitter and just women basketball Twitter, whether they like the WNBA or not, just upset about that. So I have to go back over what they said, but it may have been about the ball, like the NBA ball versus WNBA ball. Maybe next year, because you got to have this comp next year, whether you have a Steph and Sabrina rematch, or you have a Dame versus Sabrina, or you have whoever wins the WNBA contest versus Dame Lillard, or whoever wins the WNBA contest versus Steph. Can everyone use the WNBA. Can everyone use the NBA ball? Just so we could cut the excuses. Because Sabrina can shoot. She can shoot. She proved it. So that's been a debate on the X or Twitter the whole week. And I'm cool with it, man. The dunk contest took a step back. Remember, I saw it in Cleveland, and it was clearly the worst event of the night, and Obi Toppin won it without having to really try. He had one amazing dunk and the rest were just good or average. This is the same thing that happened in Indiana with Mac McClung. Mac McClung had the little jump over someone, let the ball go, double pump, let the ball go, grab the ball and dunk it again. That dunk was sick, and I don't know how that didn't get a 50. His dunk at the end got a 50, and it wasn't as good as that one. Unbelievable. The judges were tripping. Jaylen Brown shouldn't have been anywhere near the finals. It should have been Jacob Toppin. What can we do to get Jacob Toppin and Obi Toppin in a dunk contest together? That would be dope. But Jacob should have been in the finals. That would have been a much better final. Jacob versus Mac McClung. Jaime Jaquez, he just did okay. I mean, just is what it is. But, yeah. Dunk contest, disappointing once again. All-Star Weekend just wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Obviously, people want changes. Obviously, people want to see better. But it is what it is. Everyone's still going to watch, no matter how much they complain. I'm going to keep it real with you. So you can only say but so much. All right, now what's next here? The new CFP format. I just found out about that yesterday. So we have, okay. So I already knew it was going to be 12. Okay. Found out about that last year. Okay, cool. So now we get a little more detail of how it's going to be. So it's going to be five teams, five conference championships from the Power Five. So I'm guessing SEC, Big 12, ACC. There's no Pac-12, right? I guess there's no Pac-12. But ACC, SEC, Big 12, Big 10. That's important because they're the second best conference. I don't know who that fifth conference is. Is it the Pac-12? Is it the AAC? Is it the Big East? I don't know. But you have five conference champions. And then in the next seven ranked teams. Now, since this is a, I guess you can loosely say this is a OU Sports, Oklahoma Sooner Sports podcast. I mean, we could cover Oklahoma a lot. They have been creeping around the 7 to 15 range for like the last 4 years or so. They last made the playoffs in 2019. In 2020, I think they finished top 10 after starting off 0-2, or maybe they were 1-2. That was a weird season. But we finished that season top 10. Definitely would have been playoff worthy. 2021, same thing. We was in that little 10 to 15 range. Finished strong. 2022. We ain't going to talk about 2022. That was a joke. We were 6-6. That was a joke. 2023, we were like 16-7. We would have just missed it. But we've been hovering in that ballpark. So we'd have to go on the road to one of the conference champions, I assume, or one of the teams that are right there with us outside the top five. That's going to be cool. Unless the Sooners kind of pick it up and do better in the regular season, I can't see them being top five. But imagine those teams that was top four. Imagine them hosting a playoff game. Imagine hosting a playoff game in Norman. It's still possible, but just imagine that. The atmosphere would be insane. I like this little format. Let's see how it goes. There's only a matter of time before they start doing 16 and then 32. And then the next thing you know, once they get to 32, it's pretty much like FCS and all the other divisions. I'm sure they'll get there eventually. But for now, it's 12. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be many upsets. These teams are too good. There's not going to be many upsets. There might be one or two, but there's not going to be that many upsets. I'm going to tell you this right now. But I'm sure we're all rooting for upsets. Now, you couple this with the fact that a new NCAA football game is coming out. Man, college football is just, man, it's something, man. It is on top of the world, it seems like. It is on top of the world. I'm sure the ratings are going to be off the chain. So, yeah, I like the format. I still think at the end of the day, the number one or number two team is still going to be tough to beat, especially since I believe that the number one through four teams, I think they get byes, right? If I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but if I'm thinking of a 12-team tournament, I'm thinking 5 through 12 play against each other and 1 through 4 get a bye. We'll see how that plays out. I kind of want to do what I did before when I found out about the 12-team playoff and kind of run the 2023 season through that, the top 12 teams, and see how that would go. The last time I did it, we ended up with the number one team winning anyway. There was zero upsets. So I want to see how it go this time. I can't wait because I'm sure that would be fun. All right, what's the next topic here? Sooner basketball and softball. So the women are 10-1 in the conference. they are putting belt to behind. They avenged their Kansas State loss. That was the only team that beat them. And K-State punished them at K-State. Just for OU to come back in Norman and beat them. This is great. And last weekend, I was looking at where they're at in bracketology, and they're like a six seed. The only reason is because they have some, honestly, their non-conference losses ain't that bad. But the Southern loss is really bad because Southern is like, RPI is like in the 200s. Maybe at best, high 100s. Low 200. They're like high 100s, low 200s. Considering that the OU RPI is 20, that's a horrible loss. That's probably the biggest reason why they're number 20. Like, sure, they beat Texas. That's a great win. They avenged the Kansas State loss. That's a great win. I don't know, Oklahoma State. It might be a good win. But they beat Kansas State and Texas. In Texas, the computers really love them. They're top 10. They're a number 2 seed. They beat UConn. They beat UConn by double digits. So I'm like, yeah, they beat a team like Texas. It's impressive. They're on fire. Now, whether they can keep this up, oh, wait a minute. They're actually 10-2 in the conference because they lost to freaking West Virginia, who is pretty much ranked where they are. Kind of like they were ranked like one spot, like one was ranked 22 and one was ranked 23. I can't believe they went on the road and lost that game. I guess Virginia has an underrated team. But, dang, kind of disappointed in that loss. But they're still on fire. They're still doing really well. And they will definitely be in the tournament. But they got some work to do to host the first two rounds. Because from the looks of it, they're going to have to go on the road. Now, I believe if they're a 5th through 8th seed, If they're an 8th seed, that means they choked and they bottomed out. But if they're a 5th or a 6th seed, I mean, I like their chance in the first round. After that, it's going to get tough. You and me on the road, and you're going to play whoever's hosting. Just like last year, and that didn't go well. So, I don't know, man. This Jenny Baranchek era got really good, well-coached teams. But they haven't got past the second round. The second round has been the wall. They have literally been the Cowboys because their ceiling has been the second round. I said their ceiling has been the second round.
Come on, man.
And I want them to get past that. Now, when it comes to the men, they lost to Kansas again. So we got swept by Kansas. A Kansas team that got blown out by Texas Tech. They lost to UCF. Who else they lose? They lost to Kansas State. Now, I know that's a rivalry game, but they're still the better team. We beat Kansas State. I know it's a rivalry, but come on, man. You got to get that one if you're the better team. Yet, Oklahoma, in both games, they're right there with them in the first half. And then in the second half, all of a sudden, they forget how to shoot the basketball. KJ Adams in the second game. Well, in the first game, he killed us in the first half. In the second game, he killed us in the second half. Ultimately, had no answer for Hunter Dickerson. Furpy was decent in the first game, was even better the second game. Harris hit some threes I didn't think he hit. And, of course, McKellar is just, he's going to get his. So, like, he's going to be first team all Big 12. Like, what can we do about that? I'm just mad that they just went ice cold in the second half, especially the last 10 minutes. Absolutely blew my mind because that was a winnable game against Kansas. It really was. And they didn't handle business. And I'm sick. I know they got some injuries, especially to their front court. But come on, man. Come on, man. I got to do something. Now, I'm glad they beat Oklahoma fake. We're going to Iowa State in about a week. We got Oklahoma fake at Oklahoma fake on Saturday. Oklahoma fake beat BYU. So I might have to be worried about that. It's going to be a tough environment. It's us. We're their biggest rival. And this might be the last time we played them in basketball for a while. So you know that that crowd is going to be turned up. They better be ready to play. Because if not, going to lose. And it's going to take another hit to our tournament chances. And I'm gonna be real with you. They're a 7 seed right now. And the Joe Lunardi got them going against New Mexico. I'm like, oh, we should beat them, right? Here's the thing. Those teams you don't know much about, those are the most dangerous teams. So I don't want to match up like that. You know what I'm saying? Let's try to get a higher seed and get a team that we have a better matchup against. Because I don't know about that. 7-10 game, probably early on a Thursday. I don't want to do that. Okay? But let's solidify our tournament chances first. Got to play Iowa State. Got to play Texas. Got to play Oklahoma Fake. Got to play Houston. But we get them at home. Now, Houston is really good. So, that's going to be tough. I don't know. We got to do something. Can't just go out like chumps and not make tournament. But see, I think this team is good enough to make tournament. From what I've seen, yeah, sure, they're inconsistent on offense. They're just inconsistent. I know they're an inconsistent team all around. And they don't have that many playmakers. For real. They don't have consistent shooters. But, bro, they got it. They got this. Softball is once again undefeated and got a 50-something game winning streak. I think it's at 56 now. These guys, it might be at 60 now. They're just dominating. They did have some close calls against Duke and definitely against Washington. Some controversial calls. Like, I mean, it went both ways, okay? It went both ways. Like, we had the BS obstruction call. We had to play where the Washington girl looked safe, but they called her out. It went both ways. Like, come on. But they won. They survived that. Texas, we gotta keep an eye on them. Baylor's always good, but Texas is number 2 in the country. They might be number 3. I think they're number 2. So OU and Texas is 1-2. I know Texas. Why Texas? See, I can't stand them because they always got a girl on their team. Like, even when I was in school, like, it was Taylor Hoagland. They always got a girl or two on my team. I'm like, damn, bro, she bad. Always. But, listen, when we play them first weekend of April, it might be the second weekend. It's technically the second weekend. When we play them April 5th, 6th, and 7th, we got to beat them. 2 out of 3 would be nice. If we sweep them, we make a statement. If we get swept or lose 2 out of 3, I'd be worried. Or maybe I shouldn't be worried because we lost to Baylor last year and then we haven't lost since. So I'm like, how can I really worry about this group? This group is really good. They're really confident. They're poised. They're it's a group full of Christian women, so they are constantly walking in faith and constantly playing with faith. It's just these group of girls are special. And I can definitely see them going 4 in a row. It's gonna be tough. But so far so good. And we got Kelly Maxwell from Oklahoma Fake. I can't wait until we play them. Boy, I can't wait. Kelly Maxwell is going to put foot 2 behind. And I can't wait. Oh, man. She looked so good in Sooner colors, man. I know it was. Listen, it ain't that weird for me. Like, it was weird for me for like 5 seconds. And then after that, I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad we have her. Like, not that we weren't getting hits off her when she was over there anyway. But now she's with us. Oh, boy. So what she was doing to everybody else, now she can do to everybody else with us. Oh my God. Like, y'all in trouble. I love it. I absolutely love it. I gotta watch more of them, but so far, so good. Now, Denny Avia had a 45-15 game against the Pelicans. Now, we still lost, but it was a close game. I don't know what they're doing, but Kuzma's been in and out of the lineup. Poole is kind of falling back. This little lineup, or, you know, version of the team that's led by Denny Avia, Bagley, and Kispert isn't bad. Only it ain't bad. It's still losing, but it ain't bad. Now, I'm going to see how they really look against Cleveland. I think Kuzma will be fine. I haven't heard of him, like, having a serious injury. So, we'll see. Got Brian Keefe at the helm since Russ Unseld Jr. is in the front office now in some role I don't know about. But this team, it's a youth movement right now. It's a youth movement. So I'm going to see what we have. I'm going to see who sticks around at the end. Now, we got rid of DeLon Wright, who played some solid minutes off the bench. But I'm more than happy with playing more Johnny Davis, and, you know, if we can keep him away from the G League. But I don't know. We might not need him. But Jared Butler, who else? Who else play guard? I don't know. But listen, just got to get through the end of the season, and then we'll see what changes they're going to want to make. Whether they want to get some draft pick. Listen, we might have a chance to get the number one pick. But in this draft where we're not sure who's going to be really good and who's not, like, the number one pick changes all the time. There is no clear-cut number one pick. Even the top five isn't clear-cut. I don't think. There's no clear-cut number one. I don't know what's going to happen in this draft. I don't know if this is the year you want the number one pick. Kind of like that year that Cleveland picked the dude from UNLV that didn't work out. They picked him number one. This is going to be one of those type of years. So, brace yourself. We'll get ready for it. I'm trying to, just like the WNBA draft, I'm watching a lot of Georgia Amore because she might be a mystic. Because Paige Beckers, I'm going to talk about that very soon. And I mean very soon, because Paige Beckers is coming back. But just like the NBA draft, I got to start watching these guys and kind of get to know them and see who fits the Wizards the best. We could take anybody. We could take anybody. We need all the help we can get. It looks like Denny Avia is here to stay because he is playing like he wants to stay and get paid. Kispert's going to be a part of our future. Koulibaly is going to be part of our future. Maybe Marvin Bagley. Everyone else, I mean, Kuzma, they didn't trade him when they had the chance. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're trying to build around him and Avia, or they're just waiting for the right time to trade him. Or maybe they're just going to let him play out his contract. Then we'll go a different direction. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm interested to see where the direction of this team goes. I know who's staying for sure. After that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But I was very impressed. I'm very impressed with Denny Avia lately. He's stepped up, and he's been balling. And the Pelicans game definitely was a statement, and to show you that in the immediate future, he's going to be something to deal with. He's going to be at least our second best player at best, though, our second best player, and he's going to be a prop. Now, can we build the team around these guys that can compete? That will be the question, and we'll see what Michael Winger and whatever that other guy's name is. We'll see what they do. But so far, the moves have been, you know, up and down. It's been a roller coaster. But we'll see what happens. Going to the Wizards game on Sunday, I expect them to lose. It's going against Cleveland. Cleveland is a serious Eastern Conference contender. We've already lost the first three games. Now, the third game was close. We had them, but the first two games were blowouts. And I wouldn't be surprised if number four is a blowout. But I'm going anyway, get a good look at this team, and see, get a glimpse of, you know, I kind of got an idea of who's going to stay and who goes, but kind of see, you know, who we're going to keep. Like, who is going to be a part of our future. And plus, it's the Wizards. You know, I root for my team every once in a while, you know, even though they're not playing well. Oh, man. Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. So, Caitlin Clark, they lost to Nebraska. Then she was left 8 points away from the record. I don't know how Nebraska kept her scoreless. I think because Caitlin Clark's such a dominant player, I think she was just taking and missing a bunch of shots. That happens. And plus, she's a very underrated passer. Not enough is talked about when it comes to it. Her passing isn't talked about enough. She's really good at setting up her teammates. She's really good at, you know, making those sick bounce passes and drawing the defense and making, I don't know, not no-look passes, but just making the right pass. Like, she's always setting up her teammates. And I just love to see her. It's very Trae Young-like. She has some Trae Young to her. She has some John Stockton to her. In addition to being able to shoot the heck out of the ball and shoot from the dang logo. Like, her passing is just as fun to watch as her shooting. That may have been why she kind of fell short at Nebraska. But then she scores like 30 in the first half against Michigan. Poor Michigan. They got cooked. She scored the 8 points she needed in like 5 minutes. Not surprised. She went completely off against Michigan. And now she's going to run away and hide with this all-time points record that Kelsey Plum had, who is an amazing college player, by the way. Kelsey Plum had that. And now Caitlin Clark is going to run away and hide with it. You know what I want to see? Jackie Stiles. Like, I want to see her highlights because she had the record for forever. So I got to see her highlights. I'm sure them highlights, they're not black and white. I'm going to give her some credit. It was the 90s. But I know them highlight tapes probably recorded in a toaster or something. Probably VCR. But no. I got to check her out. I'm sure she was really good. But congrats to Caitlin Clark. Very impressive record. She just keep getting better and better. And I can't wait to see her in the league. Now, there's going to be a learning curve because this league is tough now. Like, even Kelsey Plum, she broke that record, came to the league, was getting that behind whooped. But she kept getting better. Kelsey Plum kept getting better and better. And then when she got Becky Hammon as a coach, she took off. The same thing could happen for Caitlin Clark. And it helps that you have an Aaliyah Boston on your team, too. So, yeah. Caitlin Clark is amazing. I see why it's an expensive ticket to go see her. Well, more expensive than the norm. Like, it ain't NBA playoffs or the Lakers and Warriors are coming to town type of nonsense. But it's usually more expensive to go see Caitlin Clark when she comes to town. Just ask Merlin that, you know, tickets start at $80-something for the Caitlin Clark game, but in the next game, they start at $2. Make that make sense. Make that make sense. Well, it does make sense, but yeah. But, okay, now, this Paige Beckers thing, so she says she's coming back to school. Kind of makes sense. Well, first of all, it's a loaded draft, so I think at best she'd go number two. But I think she would be mid-first round. Late first round at the worst. But I think, you know, she wants to have another year where she's clearly healthy and she plays well and she develops her game a little bit more, and maybe she gets to play with her good friend AZ Fudd, or is that how you say her name? The DC girl. Like, she's from here. And they're friends. They're good friends. So they get to play with each other. I expect UConn to have a magical season next year. Even this year is going to look pretty good. Watch out for them this year. But definitely watch out for them next year. So she could definitely come out of school, but she's choosing to stay. It's fine. I was disappointed because she was mocked at least one draft to come to the Mystics. And even the ones where she wasn't mocked to go to the Mystics, she was in the ballpark. I would have loved to have her on the Mystics, especially with us losing to Tasha Cloud. I would love to have her on the Mystics, but it's not going to happen. It might not be happening. Instead, I got to turn my attention to, well, I got to see what the girl from Tennessee, I got to see how she plays. You got Camila Cardoso. I don't think she's going to be there. You got Georgia Amor, who I'm setting my targets towards. You know I'm a fan of Georgia Amor. I really like the way she plays. I like her smile. She's funny. I like Georgia Amor. I would love to have her in D.C. Of course, I'd rather have Paige Beckers, but I just watched Georgia Amor play, and she has some dog to her. And just like Caitlin Clark, she can get buckets whenever she wants. She's aggressive, but also she can set up her teammates nicely too. Now, she may not be as good as passing as Caitlin Clark, but she's still really good. So I'll take her. I'll take her teammate Elizabeth Kitley, Deja Kelly. I mean, I'll take her because, you know, she has the potential to be like a James Harden type. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has a chance to be a star in this league. But I saw some mocks that had her in the second round, so I don't know. Can't forget about Haley Van Lith. I know she kind of took a back seat because she's on the Angel Reese, Anisha Morrow team. Speaking of Anisha Morrow, we might get her next year. She's mocked to be number one, but with Paige Beckers coming back, Anisha Morrow might be number two. So you still can't go wrong with any of these folks in the draft, but I would have just loved to have Paige Beckers. Who knows? The way this season might go, we might still get Paige Beckers. And then we might mess around and have Paige Beckers and Georgia Amor. That's a crazy backcourt. And I guess if you put Ariel Atkins at the three, I think she's a two. But if you put her at three, I mean, it's kind of maybe an undersized backcourt or top three. But I'd like to see it. We'll see what happens. Or, you know, knowing the Mystics, they might trade the pick because there's some good second rounders too. This is a pretty good draft from the looks of it. So maybe not all is lost without Paige Beckers. Oh, right, we got Brittany Sykes. Maybe we might not need another guard. We might need another center. But even with Queen Egbo, that's where Camila Cardoso and Liz Kitley comes in. We'll see. We'll see. Once we get closer to the draft, I think there'll be more mock drafts, and we'll see what happens. Would love to have Cameron Brink, but that's not going to happen. She's probably going number two. She's probably going to L.A. So, I mean, it's all good. It's all good, man. Let's see what happens. Let's see if these draft picks are any good. Now, the last thing is Joel Klatt has his all-time QB rankings. He got Caleb. All-time QB prospect rankings. He has Caleb Williams, number one. Trevor Williams. Ha!
Come on, man.
I was loafing. I meant Trevor Lawrence. Anyway, Trevor Lawrence, number two. Joe Burrow, number three. Drake May, which is surprising, number four. Bryce Young, number five. So I'm like, wait a minute. What happened to CJ Stroud? I guess in the modern era. Maybe since he's been covering college football. What happened to CJ Stroud? What happened to, well, come on. That draft with Baker Mayfield, Darnold, that was all kind of, a bunch of quarterbacks went in the first round. That was a very hit or miss draft. Still very good quarterbacks in that draft, but nah, that was a very good QB. But he's saying that Caleb Williams, Drake May are better than all of them. Trevor Lawrence had a disappointing season. Maybe because there was some injuries. I don't know. I was kind of surprised by this list. But this kind of tells me maybe we should be patient with Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence. We should be patient because they still have all the talent in the world. And all it takes is the right system or maybe the right offseason or maybe a good offseason of work. And boom, they're making the Pro Bowl and they got their team deep in the playoffs. Or maybe the right team around him. Drake May, like, no one's really talking about Drake May. But it looks like he's clearly the second best QB in the draft. And that tells me if someone like Joel Klatt is hyping him, that tells me that there is a possibility, not possibility, that just tells me he's probably going number two to the Commanders if the Commanders don't make a run at Caleb Williams. Now, I don't know. I'm very skeptical about Drake May. Maybe I should study him and talk about him next episode. But I don't know. Is he another potential overhyped North Carolina QB that won't translate well to the NFL? Or is he really that good and will be the next multi-time Pro Bowler and potential All-Pro and throw for 4,000 yards every other year? Could he be that person? I don't know, but that list is interesting. The list is interesting for sure. And Joel Klatt usually knows what he's talking about. So maybe I should take a look at Drake May. Joe Burrow has definitely proven he belongs in this league, definitely proved that he's a top five quarterback. So, yeah, you won the money with that one. He parlayed his epic 2019 into a great NFL career so far that's only been messed up by injury and some calls in the Super Bowl and, of course, against the Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence still have time. You know, people have soured on him. Bryce Young, people say CJ Stroud is better, but remember, he's only rookie and he was on a terrible team. Well, the defense was good, but the offensive pieces around him were not. And that's why the offense dragged down the defense. But I think the future is bright, especially if they can keep playing defense the way they play. Because that defense wasn't bad, especially that pass defense. That pass defense was number three. They can work with that. That's very Kansas City Chiefs-like. But I got to see what the Drake May hype is about. Because I don't know anything about him. But it looks like he's the number two pick in the draft. The last time we saw a hype number two pick in the draft like this, next to a quote-unquote generational prospect or once-in-a-decade prospect, it was Zach Wilson coming after Trevor Lawrence. And look how that's turned out. Justin Fields right after both of them. Look how that's turned out. Justin Fields, it's kind of been up and down. He still can do stuff in this league. He still can win in this league. He just need to be on the right team. Mac Jones, look how that's turned out. So I don't know, man. The jury is out. The jury is out on who's really good in this draft. We're going to find out. And we're going to find out really soon. Anyway, man, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. Man, you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.